Boy, what an amazing week this has been. God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, Pastor Jeff asked me to preach, and I asked him, I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes, I think." "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, let me pray about it." And I prayed about it, and I feel like God gave me a message, so I'm going to do my best to bring that to you today. Listen, I don't know about you, but in my life at times it feels like that God has maybe left me or forsaken me, right? You know, there's times in our life where it feels like it's just every waking moment that the Holy Spirit's doing something in your life. You're touching people's lives. You're seeing miraculous things happen around you. And then there's other times where it feels like, man, what happened? I woke up in a completely different world. And so I believe God gave me some revelation in this, and I'm going to give it to you today. So my sermon topic today is the 99. I don't know about you, but I've heard lots of sermons preached and songs sang about how God left the one, or left the 99 to reach the one. And so being a part of the 99, there's been times where I've looked at that and I thought, well, what's he do with the 99? You know, I've heard sermons spoke on it that, you know, God took them off in the hill country and there's just little patches of grass and the sheep relied on him to travel around to find different patches of grass, and that there wasn't that much food in the area that the shepherd was shepherding in and all this stuff. And I thought, man, that's a little bit cruel and unusual punishment. I didn't do anything. God, I've served you all this time and I've given my heart to you and you've led me out here to lay in grass and leave me beside still water, and then you just leave me? Man. Right? Anybody ever felt that way? Let me read you something. Matthew 18:12 says this. It says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go look for the one that wandered off?" Hey, listen, first and foremost, I want to tell you this. I thank God every day that he left and come and found me, right? There's not a single person in this place that wasn't that one at one point in their life. But today, so a couple weeks ago, I'll tell you a quick story. A couple weeks ago, we went to the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Wyatt got to play in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It was cool. I got to be down on the field with him. Awesome experience. We got to tour the stadium. And I'm standing in the field, and I look up, and I'm trying to find my wife, and I can't find her. You know, she's up there somewhere. And so I take my phone. It's amazing. This thing has like 100 times zoom, right? So you can zoom way up. And I see her up there picking her nose. Nah, I'm joking. She wasn't picking her nose. But I see her up there, and I take a picture, and I send it to her, and she, you know, she responds to me, and she waves at me. And so when I get home, I don't know about you, but I take a lot of pictures, but whenever I get home and I start looking at the picture, I like to look in the background of the picture. So I sit there, and I zoom up on these pictures, and I look if somebody's doing something goofy in the background, like picking their nose, right? And sure enough, I get home and I zoom up and there's this lady in the background. She doesn't know that she's in the picture, and she's like, you know, this weird look on her face. And so I laugh and I carry on. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to zoom up. First and foremost, the one is in front and center of this picture, right? That's what the scripture's talking about, that God left, or that the shepherd left the one and he went and found the 99. But we're going to try to zoom in and look in the background at the 99 and figure out what God had intended for them. But first of all, let's look at the condition of the one. So the condition of the one was this guy or man or woman is lost and feeling isolated from the flock, hopeless, exhausted, all of its resources, guilty of walking away, maybe out of fear or the grass being greener on the other side, undeserving absolutely every time. Listen, without the help of the shepherd, the lost sheep will find an eternal tragic end. Listen, what an amazing thing it is that God decided to seek you out, to find you, and to save you. Listen, but we're going to contrast in these stories between the one and the 99. So each one of these stories or parables that I'm going to tell you has both the one in it and it also has the 99 in it. And I want to look at the mentality of both of them today. So in Luke 18:35-43, the Bible tells this story about this. Jesus is going to Jericho. And on the way to Jericho, Jesus has a crowd gather around him, and he's on the way to Jericho, and there's this blind man sitting on the side of the road. And the Bible says that this blind man heard a ruckus going on, and he hollered out to the people leading the pack, and he said, "Hey, what's going on?" And he said, "Listen, Jesus of Nazareth is going to Jericho. He's fixing to pass by here." So this blind man sitting on the road, you know, I have to wonder, I don't even know how he got there, right? He's blind. I don't know if somebody brought him there, if somebody left him there, if he slept there all night long. I don't know what the situation was, but here's what I do know. He was absolutely dependent upon somebody else. Outside resources to make sure he got food, maybe. Outside resources to make sure he had money. Outside resources to make sure that he could survive. So as Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." And it said, listen, he's the one sitting on the side of the road, and the 99 are gathered around Jesus, right? And they say, "Hey, be quiet. Be quiet. This is Jesus of Nazareth." And he says, "Hey, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." And it says Jesus stops. And it says Jesus commands the 99 to go get this lost and this blind man and bring him to him. And it says they bring the blind man to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Sir, what can I do for you?" And he says, "I would love to have my sight." And he says, "I tell you the truth, that your faith has made you whole." And it says instantly this guy gets up and begins to praise Jesus and starts to follow Jesus. And it even says that some of the 99 or the people that were gathered around Jesus give Jesus God praise because of what just happened. So this same group of people, the same Jesus of Nazareth, the same blind man that now can see is walking into Jerusalem. Jericho, not Jerusalem, Jericho. Walking into Jericho, and it says when they get to Jericho, there's this short man. Right? This crowd's probably grown larger. I can only imagine what's going through some of their minds. I was thinking this morning that if it was in current times, what would happen inside our house? If we were watching Facebook and they said, "Hey, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to Choctaw." Right? Boy, I'm telling you, Pastor Jeff, I'd run in. I'd say, "Babe, listen, get your stuff together. I heard that Jesus of Nazareth was in this town, and this woman crawled through the crowd and touched his garment, and she was healed instantly of a blood condition. Babe, listen, I just heard that Jesus of Nazareth walking down the road, found this blind man and spoke to him, and he received his sight instantly. Listen, get your stuff together. I've got this arm that's broken, and I'm going to get there. I got to get my healing." Right? And so we begin to gather things up, and Peyton comes out and she says, "Dad, we got to go. I heard that Jesus cast demons out of this guy, and I want him to touch my little brother." Oh, my microphone fell. Listen, my wife is amazing. Can you hear me now? You thought I was yelling then. Wait till you hear me through this system. So I can only imagine the things that were going on in these people's minds, right? They'd heard these miraculous things that Jesus had done. I don't know about you. I've got stuff in my life that I would love for Jesus to touch me, right? So I'm sure that every person in that crowd was thinking, yelling, "Jesus of Nazareth! Jesus of Nazareth, look at me! Touch me! I need my business to flourish! If I could just touch him, I know that I'll be successful. If I could just touch him, I know that I could walk better. If I could just touch him, Mike, I would be prettier." Right? So all these people, all these 99 gathered around Jesus and worshiping God and hoping and praying that they're the one. And it said that Jesus of Nazareth is walking into Jericho, and there's this short man, and he can't see through the crowd. See, his name is Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector of that time. Probably the most despised human being on the face of the earth. I don't know about you. Is there any tax people in here? Nah, I'm not going to. Probably the most despised person on earth. Took where he didn't deserve. Charged people more than what they owed, took advantage of the situation, said he was a wealthy man.
but he was isolated. See, it said that the crowd was gathered around Jesus and he was outside the crowd and he couldn't see Jesus. And so it says that this one run ahead of the pack and he crawls up in a tree and he's looking down just so that he can get a sight, be able to see Jesus of Nazareth. He'd heard about this guy. Hadn't experienced him, but he had heard about him. And it said that Jesus of Nazareth is walking through, and I'm sure the crowd is just going wild like I was when Pastor Jeff was rocking out on the guitar. Jesus of Nazareth walks by, and it says that he looks up, he stops. Out of all the commotion, he stops. And he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, look, come down out of that tree. I need a place to stay and eat tonight. It said immediately Zacchaeus come down and he said, listen, Jesus, Lord, if I've done anybody wrong, today I'll pay them back four times what I owe them. And it said that Jesus looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, I tell you the truth that today salvation has come into your household. Right? That's amazing. We should be blown away by that. But here's what the crowd does. Here's what the 99 does. They stop and it says that the crowd starts to mumble. Look at this Jesus of Nazareth. He's going to hang out with a sinner. Jesus of Nazareth going to hang out with a sinner. Listen, Jesus showed up. The Bible says that Jesus come to seek the lost and save them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible says this. The Bible says that any physical change that you can go through is temporal, right? Because your body is dying. You're going to die one day. No matter what healing you get, no matter what miracle happens in your life, it's temporary. But the things that happen in the unseen are eternal. So whenever Jesus touches a life and it changes their eternity, that's something that never passes away. I'll tell you a quick side story real quick. This morning I'm sitting there, went to bed at midnight, woke up at 6 a.m. Did you see 6 a.m. this morning? Yeah, he did. Sitting there at 6 a.m. and I'm, listen, this is rifle season, deer season, and it's only fitting that there's all these trees up here. Was this for deer season or for Christmas? Deer season. So I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm studying, Mike, and I've been kind of hunting from my office for the last 2 weeks. I've seen all kinds of bucks walk through. Walker, this morning I'm sitting there trying to focus on the Word of God, and I look up and guess what I see? Two huge bucks fighting outside my window. Oh, this has to be God. So I jump up, I run, Pastor Jeff, I find my gun and I set it in the corner and I grab my binoculars, and sure enough, it's one of them we've seen on camera. He's huge. And so I'm thinking, is it a sin to kill a deer the day that you're fixing to be preaching? I'm not telling you how the story ends. I'm just telling you dinner's at my house tonight. I'm joking. I didn't shoot the deer. Just FYI. Anyway, these trees sidetracked me. They reminded me of that deer. Listen, when Jesus stops for the one, you're like, John, this is supposed to be about the 99. I'm going to get there, I promise. So just hang in there with me. Pastor Jeff said, we met at dinner here the other day, and he goes, I think he was testing me to find out what it was going to be about. He goes, so did the 99 all sit out there and starve to death and die? Is that what you're preaching about? He's joking, but I really think he's putting his feelers out to make sure that's not what I'm preaching about. I didn't tell him anything. I'm just telling you, you have to stay awake to the end of the service to find out. Listen, when Jesus stops for the one, it has an eternal impact. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says this. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outward we wrestle, we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So listen to this. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I like to tell stories, so I'm going to tell you another story. So years ago, Pastor Temple, your nephew and I, we went to this White Cross concert. I don't know if any of y'all, you know who White Cross is, Keith? You know? It's this hard rock, heavy metal. I think Pastor Jeff might have played in it. Christian rock group, right? Never been there. My mom let me listen to oldies on the radio. She didn't let me listen to hard rock. So when I show up to this thing, it's a little bit culture shock. But we get there super early. So we're very first, right up on the stage. And this guy comes out and they're rocking out. And this dude's wearing tights and has like scarves hanging from the mic stand, right? And he's screaming, top of his lungs. And I look back and it was literally standing room only. We were packed in there like sardines, like this. And I'm thinking, man, if I got to go to the bathroom, there's no way I'm making it back here to the restroom. But I look back and after like, I don't know, we'd been there for probably 2 hours, seems like. Been there forever and my ears are throbbing. And I look back and there's this parting of the seas, right? These people are just parting around this one guy that's walking up to the front. And he walks all the way up to the front, and guess who he stands by? He comes and hangs out with his good buddy John, right? And he's got these two beanie caps on. He's got headphones on. I don't know what he was rocking out to, but this was back in the day when they had cassette tapes, right? And so he's got his Walkman, and he's rocking out, and he's jumping, and he's bouncing around. And listen, the crowd just kind of parted away from him. And all of a sudden, he stops. And he looks at me, and he goes, I just pooped myself. Yep, sure did. So listen, the one shows up to this one rock concert, Christian rock concert, to hang out with the 99. And until I got to putting this message together, I've laughed and I've made fun of that guy ever since that day. And I thought, you know what? What would Jesus do? We throw that term around our house all the time, WWJD. You know what we did? You know what the 99 did? We backed away. That guy had more space in that one area than the whole crowd had. And everybody was going like this. Security comes walking through the crowd, snatch him up, and they drag him out of that place. Now, I've laughed about that. I've made fun of the guy. And as I'm preparing this message, God brings that back to my remembrance. He said, John, what would I have done? I'm like, well, God, I'm the one paid for the tickets. I had the right to be there. He was intruding on my space. He's like, but John, the enjoyment that you got out of that concert was temporary. What would happen if the 99 would have gathered around that guy, no matter the filth, no matter what was going on in his life, and touched that guy's life that night? It may have been eternal. Listen, I believe that Jesus, this scripture, when Jesus says, listen, it's so imperative that I leave the 99 to go reach that one, because if I don't reach that guy, he's going to spend an eternity in hell. No more poop stories. Keith, what'd you say that joke stuff was? I can't remember. Keith called me something in staff meeting the other day, and I didn't know whether to be offended or laugh. So you say this, you say, so John, what? God doesn't care about the 99? He saved me. He rescued me and he put me with this group and he just walks off and leaves me? No. No, check this out. You say, what about the storm I'm in? Anybody going through a storm right now in your life? Boy. Listen to this. Matthew 8, 23 through 26 says this. It says that the disciples got in a boat with Jesus. And it says, suddenly a furious storm come up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, and they said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. I see Jesus getting off of his mat, and he crawls up there irritated and annoyed. And he replies this. He says, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calmed. Listen, as a 99, as Christians, as a body of Christ, we often confront our needs and fears as weak and hopeless people needing saving again. Right? You ever find yourself in situations where you're crying out to God and you say, God, I need you. God, save me. I've been doing this for probably 6 months. God, I need you in this situation. And God showed me something over the last couple weeks that just blew my mind. Listen, as a church, as a 99, you have the potential to be the most equipped, most powerful force on earth. Listen, God didn't just save you. He equipped you and gave you access to all He has. Listen to this. In Luke 15, 11 through 32, all of us have heard the story about the prodigal son, right? This son that come to his dad one day and he said, look, Dad, I'm done with this type of lifestyle. Please, just give me my half of the inheritance. And it says that his father gave him his inheritance. And it said after a little while, the prodigal son gathered up all that he had and he left. And he said that within a matter of short period of time, he had squandered all of his dad's hard work and blessings just within a matter of a short period of time on sinful acts, sexual immorality, prostitution, and stuff like that. And it said it wasn't long that this man had no longer had any money. And it said there become a famine in the land. And it said, so this guy, all of his friends had left him. This guy goes out and hires himself out to a farmer, and this farmer owns some pigs. And so he begins to feed these pigs, and it said that he got so hungry that he would just beg for the pods that the pigs were eating. And it said that the world wouldn't even give him that. Listen to me, sometimes the world will drag you away with the bright lights and amazing things that they have to offer. But when you have run out of stuff to offer the world, guess where the world goes? Be careful who you follow. And so it says that this guy come to his senses and he said, listen, even my father's servants eat better than I eat. I'm going back and I'm going to be a servant of my father. I'm just going to beg him, let me be your servant so that I can have my stomach full again. So he says that he's going back and he had already made up in his mind what he was going to tell his father, how he was going to apologize, the things that he was going to say to him and just beg to be the lowest of the servants. And it says that he gets back. And it says that his father's watching. And it says when he sees him afar off, it says that his father goes running after him. And it says when his father gets to him, he wraps him up and he's like, I can only imagine he's starting to say, Dad, I'm sorry. And he's like, listen, don't worry about it. Somebody grab a robe. Somebody get a robe. My son's made a home. Grab a ring. Listen, go kill the fattened calf. We're going to have a party. And so it says that he takes him in and he's going to restore him back to not just where he was before he walked away. He's going to restore him back to better than he was when he left. So it says that the son, the other son, the second son comes walking in or walking up and he hears this big party going on. He hears Pastor Jeff and they're rocking out on the guitar and they're fixing to, he can smell the meat. And he asks a servant, he says, come here. What's going on? He says, listen, we're having a huge party. Your dad said to kill the fattened calf. Your brother's come home. He's like, what? Listen, the brother was the one. I'm fixing to tell you how the 99 reacted. Brother says, what? I've served my father faithfully my entire life. I've hung out with my dad. I've never done anything wrong. My brother has squandered everything away on prostitutes. And he never even gave me a lamb so I can celebrate with my friends. So the servant goes in and he tells him, he says, listen, your son's not going to come in. So it says the dad goes out. And the dad goes out and he's begging him. He says, son, listen. He's like, Dad, I've been with you my entire life. I've never forsaken you. I've been a faithful servant of yours. And you've never even given me a lamb. He says, son, we've got to celebrate. Your son, your brother was lost. He was dead and he's now alive. He was lost and he's now found. But listen, you've been with me this whole time. Get this, church. You've been with me this whole time. You have access to everything I own. Listen, church, as a 99, you have access to everything that God has. You have the power and authority over the enemy. You don't have to be sought out by God. You've been saved, right? You have that authority to come against every evil principality that's out there. You have the ability to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Listen, we got to stop approaching this thing like we're the lost, like we're this weak and helpless generation. We're not. God has empowered you. He says, listen, you've been faithful. You have been with me this whole time. You have everything that I have. You have power over the enemy. You have the power to trample on scorpions and snakes. You can do this. Now would be a good time to tell a funny story, but I don't have one. Listen to what God gives us. Luke 10 and 19 says this. It says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Right? Matthew 17, 19 through 20 says this. It says the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a boy. And they couldn't do it. And so they brought him to Jesus. And afterwards, Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. And the disciples come to him afterwards. And they said, Jesus, listen, we don't understand. How come we couldn't cast the demon out of him? Here's what Jesus told them. It says, he replied, because you have little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing, listen, nothing will be impossible for you. Listen, if a blind man, unsaved blind man sitting on the side of a road can have faith in your Jesus, and Jesus tell that blind man, listen, your faith has healed you and he received his sight. Imagine what you have as God's children. If you have faith in the God that you're serving, imagine the power and authority that you have. Listen, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. We're going to look at the time. I kind of segregated it just in case I was running out of time. We got two more hours. Whoa, somebody said. Yeah, whoa. I told the Holy Spirit, I said, listen, as long as you want to go, I'll just be your instrument. You talk as long as you want to talk. Listen, it says this in 1 Corinthians starting on chapter 12, starting with verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Listen, if you're in here today and you're part of the 99, to each one of you is given a gift or multiple gifts for the common good of this body of Christ that you're standing in right now or sitting in. Actually, it's a lot larger than this. It may be over. Actually, part of our body is in Africa. Maybe. I don't know. Where is that? Listen, it says this. It says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, listen to this, to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. We talked about that in Sunday school class this morning. to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All these works of one and the same Spirit, He has distributed them to each one just as He determines. So did God leave you on the hillside by yourself? Listen, the 99 is equipped to do even greater works, Jesus says, than what He did. John 14, 12 through 14 says this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let me ask you, church, did Jesus leave you alone? Did the shepherd leave you alone when he went to seek the one? No, let me tell you what Jesus did. He left you with 99 other royal siblings, right? He left you with 99 other armored up, enemy spanking, sword yielding, mountain moving, scorpion squashing, snake stomping, demon slaying warriors, right? Huh? That's you. Listen, one of Satan's biggest fears, I believe, one of his worst nightmares is that God's children realizing the power within the body of Christ. Amen. Listen, God has equipped the 99 to be more than conquerors. Listen to me. When you're going through problems and you're going through tribulations and you've got things coming your way, listen, you don't have to seek a Savior. God said, listen, I left you with 99 others that have the power and authority to overcome the enemy. Listen, I left you with 99 others that has a word of wisdom for you. Listen, I left you with 99 others that has a prophecy for you. Listen, I left you with 99 others that can lay hands on you and you'll be healed. Listen, we don't have to seek a Savior. We've already been saved. We have to get away from that mentality that we need to be saved. We're already saved. Now we just have to work inside the spiritual gifts that God give us, and we will be the most powerful army on the face of this earth, I'm telling you. You guys stand with me.